is going on, everybody? It's Tuesday. You know what that means. Show Me the Money Club live Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Episode 160, man. 160. Holy moly. All right. What's going on, Sergi? How you doing?
Yeah, I'm in L.A. You know that, right?
Oh, I know you're in L.A. Ground zero for the crazy.
I'm doing good, buddy. I'm doing good. I'm trying to stay out of trouble. That's all I'm doing.
No throwing bricks. None of that.
None of that shit.
Yeah. Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. If you are in the LA area, be careful, especially around any potential issues. Drive around.
Or drive Waymo over.
Waymo is not there.
Waymo pulled out. They completely pulled themselves out. So we'll
see. They were driving down the highway.
Yeah, that's their test now, because they've been testing on the freeway. So they're all lined up on the freeway going somewhere. I don't know where they're going.
They're like, we're going to go to San Francisco or Austin. I'm not sure where.
You know, they did what the I'm not going to call them protesters, because there were good, peaceful protests going on at the same time, obviously. You know, these knuckleheads, I call them, instigators or insurrectionists. What they were doing is they were calling the Waymos for a trip on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it shows up, they're burning it down. That's why there were like eight of them or six of them lined up.
Uh-huh.
And I posted it. I said, what would be the difference between a human-driven rideshare car versus a Waymo? You call me, I see trouble, I'm running you over. I'm fucking sitting there and getting burned. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the difference. That was a topic for coming up. So how about this? Why don't we run topics are? Oh, crap. Hold on. One second. You know, sometimes technology doesn't want to work the best way it should. So give me one second.
Oh, shit. I don't see the lineup.
Yeah, it wasn't there. It disappeared.
Okay. All right, folks. How's it going, everyone?
Technical minor. Florida.
Minor inconvenience. Let's see.
That's after the show.
Let's entertain.
That's after the show. All right, let's go into the rundown. So we're going to be talking about who is the Lyft switcheroo good for. Mm-hmm. More Uber. Uber upfront fares going nationwide with a few exceptions, which I know we talked about last month. So I'm not sure why you brought that up again. But either way, we got more GridWise data released proving what we've been saying. Okay. Good. 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 Uber's CPO interview, his dog fooding, and more. Dara goes to Washington. What?
That's it. I felt like...
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is the way Uber algorithm is supposed to work. Yeah. And then why are driver fares capped on super long trips? That has been, you know, a topic that I started posting about on X, the last few weeks, seeing all these crazy trips. Mm-hmm. So we're going to try and get some change there, because it's absolutely ridiculous. And then also we're going to be talking about Uber bringing scheduling. Oh, and then the main difference, as you pointed out, between Waymo and human drivers. Main thing is, I'm not going to sit there because it's pedestrian. No, I'm going to drive your ass over. And then we'll go into the Super Chat shout outs, comments, and finally get to our driver's corner of how you handle drunk riders. Which, you know, the last few weeks we haven't been able to, only because of, pressed on time with having guests. So no guests today. But yes, that's what it is. Also, yeah. We did post the video on the Gemini AI about the toll on the human body and everything when it comes to Uber driving, Lyft driving. And we posted that video as a standalone clip as well. And we got a lot of great comments, so we might be doing that next week, where we're going to kind of deep dive into it. We're going to definitely do something with that. So very good there. Thank you for everybody kind of voicing that and saying, yeah, you want more information, more things on it, and more talking about it. So we'll definitely bring that up, as well as, you know, what I was saying, like remedies on problems, things like that. So it doesn't have to be a toll, but it can actually be offset. So stay tuned for that. Definitely some good stuff. And then Sergio, behind the wheel, my friend.
Behind the wheel. Sad to say that Lyft also quit doing their driver's corner. But as Chris always has said, often imitated, never duplicated. Sorry, Lyft. you know, it's not easy, man. It's not easy. We're just pumping out 160th today. You guys stopped at 2. I'm like, hey, it's okay. So yeah, behind the wheel, if you're interested, no muzzle, no script, great chat, 20, 30 minutes of your life. You can do it in the car. You can do whatever you are. You come on, you talk mostly. I listen, you get shit off your chest. If it's good, good. If it's bad, bad. We keep it balanced, you know? And if you're interested, Sergio at the RideShareGuy.com. Drop me a paragraph of what kind of what you want to talk about and your availability. I will send you a Zoom link. We hop on, we record, and Chris puts it on, and we're done. So they're very good. They're really, really, I actually like doing those as much as I like doing Show Me the Money. Because it gives me a chance to get a flavor of, because all of you are from all different cities, small, medium, large, whatever. And each city has its own problems. And it also has its own advantages. So what better way than you coming on and talking to the community, giving some tidbits, you know, maybe if you're from a small city, you talk about your small city issues and adventures and advantages. So please, Sergio at therideshareguy.com. We appreciate it.
Yep. Yeah. And what's nice and refreshing, I guess you can say, and I think that's probably why you like it, is everybody's different story and how, you know, they're using it to, you know, their life and how they're working within the algorithm and what's making it work for them or not. And then, you know, some things are different. So, you know, they are in an area or a market where it's doesn't necessarily mean everything that we say or, you know, recommend to do actually gets done, because, you know, the opposite can be true. So like Donnie, 100% acceptance rate, but it works in his area. It might not work in other people's area as much like that. So
for sure,
real unique there when it comes to it. And then, you know, just the massive amount of people that you get to talk to and meet that you'd never know existed, but they're doing absolutely. It right alongside.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love doing those. We're going to keep doing it, obviously. We'll drop it every Thursday, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern. Email me, Sergio at therideshareguy.com, if you have a story to tell and share with the community, and we'll do it.
Yep. All right, let's move on to our first subject, and that is the Lyft switcheroo. I think all drivers hate the Lyft switcheroo because, you know, you're driving down the street, you're making a left, and then all of a sudden you get that little did-did-did-did, and now you are turning right, and you're like, what the heck? And you can't, because it's 6 lanes of traffic, and good luck. So now you got to turn left, turn around, wait in the light again, finally go, and then guess what? You're going to get dinged again, and then go back to your original thing. So while you're sitting in that light waiting again, now you got to pull a U-ey when you're in the middle lane. It's just not, it's a pain in the ass. And I'm glad that they have that little option that says turn them off. But what about the drive, or what about the passengers? Is it good for them? Is it good for anybody? What's going on here? So Sergio, you put this in.
This is not good for anyone. I mean, look, okay. So this is from the rider side. Your driver is arriving in 3 minutes. Look out for Mahmoud in a 2012 Toyota Prius. Great job, Mahmoud. That's the only car you should be driving. Right on its last legs. So that was 43 minutes ago, this rider ordered. So the rider goes 3 minutes, super amazing, I'll be in the car. Then 1 minute later, switcheroo happens. So, and you know what will happen on this, right, Chris? So when the first switcheroo happens, the system is switching, but we as drivers, it will say, let's name this passenger Abigail.
Harry.
Hello, gets Jerry. It says Harry canceled the trip. Harry didn't cancel shit. Harry was looking forward to being in a car with Mahmoud in 3 minutes. And then he goes, oh, your driver is arriving in 3 minutes now. Look for Nicholas in a 2022 Toyota RAV4 Prime. Ooh, look at that. You got a huge upgrade on the car, right? From 2012 to 2022.
Okay, baby.
So now I'm Harry. I'm going like, okay, cool. I got a better car. So I'm waiting for Nicholas now. And 3 minutes more goes by. And then now it says, whoops, hold on. So this is the original 3 minutes. We're already into the fourth minute. And I got switched three times as a rider. Your driver is arriving in 4 minutes now. Look for Richard in a 2013 Fusion Hybrid, which now we went back down to the old, you know, old car. I mean, I'm not saying this is old car, new car. So this happens all the time. So if you're a driver that has not gone into your preferences on Lyft and you're still on auto accept and you're still on auto queue, please stop the madness. Please go to manual accept. It's so easy. I showed it. I didn't even did a video. Go check the video out. How to set your preferences on Uber and Lyft. It's three clicks, people. Don't do this. Don't be part of this madness, because all these drivers, by the way, not only the rider now is frustrated, the driver is frustrated. Mahmoud was on his way. He goes, oh, Harry canceled. Then Nicholas was on his way. Oh, no. It says, Harry canceled. What happened?
Anyway. Oh, no, I disappeared.
You did disappear. What are you doing? Don't turn your camera.
I didn't do anything. It disappeared on me.
You went dark?
Yeah.
All right, we have gremlins. Hey, Uber, stop messing with the live stream, man.
Damn it, Uber.
Okay, come on now.
I think this one was Lyft. I think this one was Lyft because Lyft is... Lyft?
Dang, we're talking
about Lyft. But, a couple of things here. Yes, this happens all the time. But here's the thing. This passenger right here, in 3 minutes... Okay, so let's just say it's 11 a.m. Okay. We're getting our car in 3 minutes, so it's 11:03. Then a minute goes by. Now they're gonna say, "Oh, 3 minutes." So now it's 11:01. Another 3 minutes goes by, and you're gonna finally get your car at 11:04. Guess what? 11:04 is here. Oh, what's that? My driver's not here yet. I thought you said 3 minutes. And then all of a sudden it says 4 more minutes. So yeah, you're pissing off the driver. But here's a conspiracy side that I want to go down, and this is probably why they took me off already. Because I was thinking it. What if
you're not going to come back on? You're in the dark.
Well, right now I'm talking. I'm not going to worry about that right now. So, what happens if they have no driver and they're like, oh, we're just going to kind of put all these cars and people out there and say, oh, these are all the ghost drivers. You know how there's ghost riders. These are all the ghost drivers. So it makes it seem like, oh yeah, we have a car waiting for you and it's on its way. But in reality, it's a ghost car. It's not real. It's just BS. And they're waiting for a ride that they can finally squeeze his ass into. And there you go.
Yeah, this is bad for everyone. And I don't think it's good for Lyft either, because you're frustrating the rider and you're frustrating the driver. I think it is because today we're Lyft heavy. You know what I mean? Oh, there you are. We're Lyft heavy. So I think Lyft is messing with the live stream now. So Uber, first of all, stop watching. Don't watch. Watch the replay. Do something else. Go do something else. You guys like have shit to do over there.
So. Hey, I'm here. It's okay.
Okay. All right, cool. Anyway, so yeah, this is bad for everyone. And again, there's a video on the channel. It says Sergio's Diaries, orange. You can't miss it. How to set your preferences. Please do not do auto accept. Just don't do it.
Here's another thing when it comes to the switcheroo on the driver's side. What happens when you order, let's say for a friend or for somebody else, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, hey, this is your rider or this is the driver that's coming, and it's Mahmoud, and he's got you're looking for a 2012 Toyota Prius, and then you leave or you're outside or whatever it might be, or they leave. And then all of a sudden you get all these notifications and you're still waiting for that Toyota Prius to pull up, but yet it's never going to show up because they continue switching it to somebody else.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Uber actually, you know, I have to give Uber credit. Uber never does that. Uber doesn't do the switcheroo. They never did from the first day. Lyft has been doing that from the first day on, and hopefully you'll fix it. The fix is on the driver. Just go to manual accept. When it comes to queued rides, that's it.
Yeah. Also turn off the
auto accept
switcheroo.
Definitely turn off the switcheroo. Actually, you know, That's one thing Lyft actually, David Risher and Lyft did immediately almost.
Yeah.
And that was one of the top complaints.
Was that.
Yeah. So it's good. Yeah. All right. Cool. Yeah.
All right. So let's move on. Let's talk about upfront fares going nationwide, which, yes, we did talk about a couple of weeks ago. It's expanding into several areas, except unfortunately, some areas still are not going to get it. And there's a great video coming out by Chuck tomorrow that's kind of talking about this exact thing. And he lives in the, you know, he drives in the Delaware beaches, Philly, and Jersey. Southern Jersey area. And some of those markets do not have upfront fares, Jersey, and will not be getting upfront fares. But there is a reason why drivers should be having upfront fares. And he's going to be talking about that in the video and makes a very good case on why. Not only is it bad for passengers, but it's also bad. I mean, not only is it bad for drivers, but it's also very bad for passengers. So for sure. Uber, if you're watching this, clearly you need to watch that video as well tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. And these are the screenshots for this. So,
This is from, I think she's here. She's always here. Maybe she's not today. Steph from Santa Barbara. The reason you all of you are getting your wish, okay, folks? All of you are getting nationwide. You guys are getting upfront fares and destination, okay? With the exception of Washington State and Jersey in some places, some New York cities, some places. And I think there was one more I forgot. But anyway, so everybody's getting it. Now, don't wish for it. You may get it is the question here, because Steph drives in Santa Barbara County, which is a couple of counties to my west, beautiful place on the planet. And so she was like, well, this is what we're getting now. And that's why I put this up. These are all upfront fares, folks. And remember, we talked about it. There is a range. She said there is a range with upfront fares. Well, you're seeing the pickup, you're seeing the drop-off, but there's a range for some reason. Now, I don't know. So, Uber, take a screenshot of this, please, because this shouldn't be a range. Upfront fares means upfront fares. One price. Take it or leave it. What is this bullshit? Do you know what this is, Chris? The range? And look at some of these trips.
Well, can you read? The range is an absolute joke, but the prices that they're offering for these trips are absolutely insane.
Okay,
I mean, look at this one right here.
Your eyes are good. Can you read a couple of those?
Look at this. Pickups? So the first one where it says $3.99 to $5. That's what they're offering, and the pickup is 25 minutes or 15.2 miles away for a 7-minute 2.6 mile trip. You're kidding, right? So you want me to drive 18 miles for about 35 minutes? For $3.99 to $5.
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. GTF. There's Prop 22.
I don't care.
You'll get your money in a couple of weeks. Don't worry about it.
I don't care. Unless Prop 22 is paying me $35 an hour.
Steph is here. She says this is Ventura. Okay. My apologies. This is Ventura. There you go. She drives in Ventura. So same shit.
Well, either way.
Same shit.
The next one, $2.25 to $3. And the pickup is 17 minutes away or 10.8 miles for a 4-minute 0.9 mile trip. Yeah. They can walk it in the amount of time that you are going to take it to get there and drop them off.
Yeah.
save some money there. Next one is $1.87 to $2, which is an absolute joke. And again, 18 minutes, 9.9 miles away for a 3-minute 0.6 mile trip. Come on, guys, walk.
Yeah. Well, that's the prices that we're getting. And so for all the people who says, oh, I wish I had upfront fares. Really? There you go. There's some good old $3 chewing gum trips for you all.
Well, let me tell you. I know we know Uber has an upfront fare, or I'm sorry, an acceptance rate problem because of upfront fares. You know that. I know that. We've talked about this many times. So the more that they decide to roll this out means rides like this are just going to continue getting bounced around and pushed around, and nobody is going to take them. So you know what, DK, you know, you said it with your interview with Harry, and I'm going to continue mentioning it, and we're probably going to bring it up again. And I, you know what, I'm actually going to put the video on demand so I can just post it every time I need, where it literally is him saying, we want acceptance rates to go up. And if they're not, it's because we, as Uber, is pricing it wrong. So guess what? You are pricing it wrong, fix it, and then acceptance rates will go up.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I don't know, this is from another planet, it looks like.
That's insane.
So we have a segment coming up on Sachin, who's number three at Uber now, the CTO, Chief Technology, CPO, not CTO, Chief Product Officer. And he had a good interview, so we're going to do a little takedown on that, Sachin. You need to come on, Sachin. And we're going to be kind to you, though. But he was talking about dog fooding. So, Sachin, when you're dog fooding and you get this, do you accept this $1.87 to $2? Do you get those? I don't know. Anyway, so you all are getting upfront fares. Good luck.
Minus a few.
Minus a few who are getting paid well.
Yeah. So don't change that. All right. With that being said, let's move on. Gridwise released some more data. Ryan had posted a couple of things on LinkedIn, talking about the data when it comes to Uber and Lyft. And it's just backing up everything we're saying. So very interesting.
Love Ryan. Love Gridwise. Ryan, shout out to you from Barcelona with love. All right. So Ryan Green is the CEO of Gridwise. We have interviewed him on the channel, but we also interviewed him doing Curbivore. And please go check it out. I think the video dropped yesterday. It was a short little 3-minute interview, but Gridwise does great work. What Gridwise does is eliminate the comeback from the company saying edge case or not enough sample size. Because Gridwise looks at hundreds of millions of data points before they put anything out. You know what I'm saying? So take that. So it kind of completely proves what we've been saying, right? So now Gridwise did an analysis from the rider side. So here it is. This is quote for quote. Riders say they're hitting the brakes. And the growing price gap may be why. Since January 2024, folks, this is 1 year ago, Uber's average trip price rose from $19.95 as average in the whole system to $22.93. Lyft dropped slightly from $19.36 to $18.92. That's why Lyft is taking market share. That's not just a difference in strategy, it's shaping how people ride. According to Gridwise Analytics, this divergence is more than a trend line, it's a signal. Over half of the riders say they've already reduced their rideshare usage due to the price. And if costs continue climbing, 70% plus of riders said they'll cut back even more or stop altogether. Good. With rider sentiment shifting and cost sensitivity rising, especially with the economy that we're living in, the industry faces a pivotal moment. How platforms adapt through dynamic pricing incentives or diversified services will define the road ahead. I'm curious, are you riding less lately? Well, there's the chart that they came up with. And I know I sent you one last minute. I don't know if you were able to sneak that in there.
No, you know, when I commented on his LinkedIn post, I said, when it's $22 for Uber to go 4.5 miles from my house to the grocery store, there's definitely something wrong.
Yeah, definitely something wrong. And Uber is playing the game of, look, we're the shit. We have brand identity. We'll charge more. The problem, and then I actually commented to this post on LinkedIn, and I said, now, Ryan, so in 1 year, so 1995 to 2283, Chris, is about $3 is about 15%. So inflation, according to the government, is 2%. So Uber is like going 7x the inflation rate, charging more. And what part of that 15% increase are they passing it along to the right or to the driver is the question.
Why would they need to even charge inflation prices? Because there's no...
Well, they don't need to, but they can.
They don't own anything. Yeah. We all own everything.
Absolutely. But so that's that. Did you get the second part that I sent you this morning or yesterday, I think?
Yep.
Okay. So this is another one that just dropped today or yesterday, and I sent it to Chris, and I'm glad he put it in. This is what we've been saying, and this kind of proves it again. Ryan, you the man. Thank you for all this. Rideshare driver retention is low. Okay. Mm-hmm. What keeps drivers coming back? Well, I ask this to all the time. Everybody complains, but the next morning they turn the damn app on instead of deleting the app. So Uber has a slight edge, but both platforms face a bigger challenge. New GridWise analytics data reveals a meaningful divergence in long-term driver retention across rideshare platforms. While both Uber and Lyft see strong retention early on, the gap widens and steadily over time. By month 11, drumroll, Uber retains only 33% of the drivers from its January to April cohorts. Lyft retains 25%. So that means by month 11 or sooner, 67% quit and 75% quit on Lyft. Why? Because it takes him 6 to 8 months, 10 months to figure out, I put 50,000 miles on my car and I got nothing to show for it outside a trash car and a trash back, lower back. That's why they quit. That's a notable difference, but perhaps more striking is the broader trend. Long-term retention for both remains low. This data underscores a key tension in the gig economy. Multi-apping may boost short-term earnings, but platform loyalty, which should not exist at all, continues to erode. Sustained driver engagement is becoming harder to achieve. We go back to Dara's interview on our channel, which is public. You guys go on, check it out. He said, it's correlated actually. He said, if we price trips incorrectly, you will not accept and acceptance rates will go down. And that's what has happened. That's what has been happening. And this directly correlates to that. If you keep pricing shit incorrectly and people keep declining and run their cars into the ground and their lower backs into the ground, they're going to go, okay, I had enough. Basically, use your car as an ATM machine and you quit. So 75% quit on Lyft, 67% quit on Uber, 11 months or less. That's where the game is at. How about this? How about you guys pay better and you guys keep professional drivers? And then what happens, Chris, is that if you're running a business with a turnover rate of 75%, you're going to pretty soon what happens is that you start scratching the bottom of the barrel. Car quality goes down. Rider quality goes down. Well, forget rider. Driver quality goes down. And then the first thing happens. Prices keep going higher. The riders go, wait a minute, I used to get a nice car. I used to get a driver who could read GPS or maybe even speak English. Now I'm getting this beater. The guy doesn't know what he's doing. And I'm paying more. So there you go, Uber, Lyft. You guys keep burning the candle on both ends. We'll see where we're going to end up. I'm done.
Yeah, well, I mean, it goes back to the GridWise report that said people were going to limit the amount that they're using or even more. But this just goes to show you that they have the biggest pipe dream in the world, and that is that they are going to take on car ownership. This just is going to smack everybody in the face and say, no, that ain't going to happen. And they, if riders peel back how much they're using the platforms and cut back or cut back altogether, you're not going to get them back anytime soon. I mean, you'd have to run like insane discounts in order to try to capture them back. Because once they're already cut of the cord, at that point, they don't need to worry about it anymore.
Well, the you know, those discounts, as we know, they're also hocus pocus. They don't exist. Mm-hmm. They give you the flash discount. They bump it up. You feel like you're getting something. You're getting a good deal. You ain't getting a good deal. You're getting the same thing you were going to get without the discount. So,
yeah. Well, we will keep you posted on anything more when it comes to info like that. But unfortunately,
yeah. Well, no. GridWise is great. It's really great because there is no,
But no the thing is, you got to look at it two ways now. More people are hurting in the economy, so they're going to say, hey, I'm going to try Uber and Lyft.
Yes.
They might only try it for a month or two or three and realize, hey, it's not for me. I mean, if you looked at those graphs, 50% of drivers on Lyft quit within 5 months. 50% of drivers quit within 6 months. So you know, if you're capturing all these new people, you know, unfortunately, it does lead to some oversaturation for a little while. But if people are also cutting back on the other side, being a passenger, well, then, you know, it's going to lead to more oversaturation for a little while. So, you know, we might see drivers quitting earlier. You might run those numbers again over the next year or so. If Uber and Lyft continue to raise prices and people continue to say, hey, I'm not going to spend that kind of money anymore, and they start cutting back or find different means completely, then, yeah, you're going to have a massive difference. I could see that where you could up that a month or two when it comes to driver dissatisfaction. I mean, and then the other side, too, is as time continues on, they're talking about AVs. AVs aren't going to be mainstream probably for at least 10 more years. So we've already gone through how many drivers at this point? Are they going to hit a point where they're searching for drivers again and, you know, offering those crazy bonuses to try to come on and do all these things? And what's going to happen there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I think with what happened in LA and in San Francisco with these Waymos, you know, I think that's the only kink in the armor, but we're going to talk about that. But about this subject, I'm glad, you know, we have a really good relationship with Ryan and Gridwise, because data is gold. They have the data. This is not like they didn't talk to like five riders. You know what I mean? This is massive amounts of data. Last report, gig report they put out was 800 million points of data. Close to a billion points of data. So you can't just go Uber and say, hey, this is wrong. I'm like, no, it's not wrong. We have been saying this, that riders are paying more, drivers are making less. Uber goes, no, everybody's making $30 an hour. I'm like, bullshit. So this kind of proves, and this is great. I mean, we're going to keep mentioning Gridwise, and I love what they do. And go check them out, www.gridwise.com.
All right, with that being said, let's move on and talk about Uber CPO, which you had mentioned earlier, Sachin.
Okay, hold on one second. Hold on one second. Give me one second. Okay, this I'm going to put this up. Do these guys even look at this chat? And we try, but it's flying. So if you are doing this on this side of the table, it's pretty hard, my man. And trying to keep it like a straight thought and just read that, but I caught yours. See, that means I am looking at it. How about that?
Well, not only that, we also do our show, and then we go to the chat afterwards. So
yeah, we'll go to chat afterwards. Yeah. Well, if you're interested, you just grab the link today. It's interactive. Come on and talk about it. All right, let's go.
All right, so let's move on, and let's talk about Uber's CPO, Sachin, which you've already mentioned. Talking about the dog fooding and all that.
Enjoyed this interview very much. I like Sachin. I've met him in person. I have interviewed him on this channel actually a couple of years ago. Sachin has moved up in the company. He's the CPO now, stands for Chief Product Officer. And he did this interview. Okay. Very good interview. He's very personable. I met him in person a couple times actually. So this was about how he dog foods and how he, you know, experiences the app. And he said a lot of the things that we used to say. I thought I was listening to myself at some point during the interview. Please go check it out on Lenny San. Lenny San, go to YouTube. It's on YouTube. Lenny San's page. Really good interview. But long story short, so after that, I listened to the interview, so I tweeted in and I raised my hand, you know, because at the end, Sachin, and he was asked, how could people get in touch with you? And Sachin sent through LinkedIn. So I don't have Sachin's personal email address. So maybe I do, but I didn't bother him with it yet. Anyway, so I'm probably on mute, which I'm pretty sure I'm on mute. I'm not blocked, but I'm probably on mute by Dara and Sachin and Andrew McDonald and all these people. So but worth a shot. Open invitation to come on Show Me the Money Live. We can discuss all the topics you did on this podcast and some more. Open invitation, Sachin. Open anytime, anywhere. I'll even come to San Francisco, sit down with you, record it, and then we'll release it. Do anytime if you're nervous doing it live. So Sachin And the interviewer came up with these takeaways, which I thought was great. And so Sachin's number one rule is ship equals cut decision latency, daily stand-ups, rapid product reviews, and a strict two-way door mindset / cycle time. Sachin, the reason ship is not working is that's why we're in business, Sachin, because there's so many full of glitches like Swiss cheese on the app that's why we're in business. Otherwise, if you guys didn't do ship, we wouldn't be in business. So thank you for doing it really fast. Ship. Okay, number two. Inputs over outputs, whether weight, loss, grades, or retention metrics. Well, we just talked about retention metrics. They're awful. Focus on the controllable inputs. Outputs follow. This motto is one he drills into his kids too. Great. So number three, they was asked about what the marketplace is going to look like with all the AVs coming on board. He said hybrid marketplace, vision for autonomy, Uber divested its, you know, in-house AV plans, whatever. So hybrid network is human drivers and also robotaxis. So let's go to the next screenshot. There is one here that you guys are going to say, aha moment. That was my aha moment. The ship was kind of aha moment, but this, number four, was the aha moment. Here we go. Okay, you want to read this or you want me to read it?
Oh, you can.
Okay. Profitability through ruthless efficiency. Chris, you guys get it? Should I read it again? I should. Profitability through ruthless efficiency. You know what that means, right? That's burning the candle on both ends. We jack them up, we cut them down. Sachin, this is not about you. This was like probably a Freudian slip. You didn't think I was going to read this, but I read everything, listen to everything. I'm going to do it one more time. Chat, what do you guys think about this? Profitability through ruthless efficiency. COVID forced Uber to drop unprofitable bets. AV, Elevate, blah, blah, blah. Batch deliveries, refined promo spend. That's when you guys' Quest disappeared into thin air. And trim support. That's the black hole support that keeps going, right? Okay. And payment costs. Is that why the business keeps going on like 185 for cash outs? Anyway, today profitability funds new bets on the backs of drivers because we're paying them less without sacrificing margin discipline. This was my aha moment in all this interview as the rideshare guy person here. And then number five, career advice for PMs. Product manager, not our, you know, ball of wax. AI already boosting product manager workflows. Of course it is. And this also kind of hit me a little sideways. Empathy beats ego. Users spend minutes, not their lives, inside your product. I disagree, Sachin. That may be as a consumer, not as a driver. We spend 12 hours sometimes, and that becomes our lives inside your product, Sachin. And when you do ship, and it's full of glitches, that's when you get the emails from me saying, hey, what the F? This is bullshit. I did enjoy the interview, Sachin. Again, I'm not trying to be an a-hole, but I think you should come on and we can discuss all these topics and specifically the profitability through ruthless efficiency part. And quick Uber etiquette tips. It says, don't slam your driver's door because he dogfoots quite a bit. Supposedly, he's been at Uber 10 years. He's done 800 trips and deliveries so far. I take my hat off to him. At least he's doing some. Dogfooting works, but it won't work, Sachin, because you are never facing the pressure of the driver making rent, making a car payment, putting food on the table because you already have a multi-million-dollar job with RSUs. So dog fooding at your level is commendable, but I don't think it does much.
Yep. Well, I didn't listen to it, so I don't have much to say there, but you summed it up very well.
It wasn't a rant. I wasn't ranting. Sachin, open invitation.
Yep. All right. Well, you know, we go from the CPO to the CEO, Dara. He went to Washington to visit there to talk about a couple of things.
There he is, second from the bottom. That's his bald head looking at Trump. Because Trump absolutely, completely butchered Dara's last name.
That's okay. I do too.
You do too. Yeah, of course. So Dara is in the president's council. Great. Maybe that $1 million donation helped. So Dara Khosrowshahi said, by the way, this is off topic a little bit. I love three times what Trump is doing with the $1,000 contribution when a child is born. Mm-hmm. President Trump, make sure the parents cannot touch it, because there mm-hmm. are parents that will fuck it up, touch it. As long as it's untouchable by the parent, I love this idea. And you can go up to $5,000 more put in that child's account. It will replace Social Security for the next generation, because next generation is not going to have Social Security. They're paying for my Social Security. I'm hoping to get Social Security. We'll see what happens in 7 years. I love this idea. No question about it. Not political. Back to Dara. So he said during his speech, after Trump butchered his last name, he said, that's the promise of the Invest in America Act. When he's on that council, there were all the CEO of Goldman was there, you know, a whole bunch of big wigs, right? And somehow Dara Khosrowshahi was picked for that panel. I don't know why, but he was. Good on him. That's the promise of the Invest in America Act. It's not just an account. It's a launch pad. I agree. It puts the unstoppable engine of compounding to work for our kids, building a future for them from day one. I agree with that comment. However, Dara, I know you're not going to come on ever. However, how about you do this for the drivers? How about you educate the drivers about investing, about saving money, about running rideshare as a business, as opposed to sending out those $1.87 trips, because there is no money left after we accept those $1.87 trips. There ain't money left to save. So, shameless plug, I have a finance channel where I talk about finance, investing, trading, whatever it is. It's at Sergio Avedin on YouTube. If you still don't know, go please subscribe. You'll learn a ton. But I think this is where the next level, and I expect this from Lyft before Uber, actually, because Dara is a lot of talk. I actually expect this from Richard. And there is nothing on the app, because it's counterproductive, I'm sure, that educates the driver, saying, run this as your small business. This is your cost per mile. This is how you figure this out. This is how you do this. Dara, let's do it. Let's do it together. I'll freaking do it, Dara. I'll even work with Uber on this one. Educate the driver. When you're uploading your docs, be straight up. Say, hey, every week save $100 from what you make and put it in some retirement account or something like that. You like it for kids, do it for your drivers, because you certainly have enough of those out there. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, if they did something like that, I think they could improve their numbers.
Retention.
People who are going to stay.
Right? Yep. Retention.
You might lose a few people. So instead of having that 100% for the first month, you might lose a couple of people right off the bat. But, you know, you can extend that from 11 months at 33% to outward, maybe. So who knows? We'll see.
Okay. Well, we'll see. But he's in the president's council for the Invest in America Act. And I love the $1,000 for every newborn. President Trump, don't be a fool. Don't let the parent touch it. There we go. What if we could give the same? Okay, here it is. Okay, this is what he said. Part of his speech. He had a two-minute speech. I listened to it, but this is the excerpt. What if we could give the same powerful, real, tangible hope that comes from having a stake in your own future and a stake in the best companies in the world to every single child that's born in this country? Amazing. Do it with your drivers, Dara. They're the ones. They're the ones that got Uber to $180 billion market cap, Dara. Do it for your drivers. That's the promise of Invest in America. Invest in your driver act. Uber's Invest in Your Driver Act. I see it in the headlines. I'll swear to God I work with Uber on this if you guys want. It's not just an account. It's a launch pad. It puts the unstoppable engine of compounding. Teach your drivers, because we agree on this, Dara. You say run rideshare as your small business. I don't think many people are doing it, with the exception of some people in our crowd, probably. Do it, Dara. I'll work with you on this. Do it. I'll whatever you want. I'll work with you on this. Okay? Do it.
Yep. Well, either way, I do like that account as well, too. Unfortunately, that is how Social Security should have probably been set up from the get-go. And you get money right off the bat. It's put in, you know, your payment, your contribution every hour you work. You know, a certain percentage goes to that, goes right into the account. You can't touch it until you can't touch it from when, you know, you're born all the way through until you retire. And that's that. So, I mean, something like that, I think, is a good thing. So hopefully, those continue. But yeah, I do like the driver fund or something to help with drivers when it comes to launching drivers the right way. So it is more of a business. But the problem is, you know, it's not just about launching drivers and educating drivers properly. It's also about paying them fairly. So if you're going to try to undercut drivers by offering them $1.87 for, you know, a 20-mile trip from start to finish, from the moment I accept the trip to go pick it up for a 0.6-mile trip, something like that is absolutely insane, ridiculous, and should not be part of the whole thing, because you can't get anywhere with $1.87. So, you know, you gotta look at raising rates. I mean, if you're going to have a lot of people investing because you get $1,000 and, you know, there's brand new kids. I mean, let's be real. Gen Alpha, which is this generation that's coming right now, they're expecting only about 42 million. So an estimated of 42 million, when millennial is about 70, it was 72 million. Gen Z is 68 million. So there's going to be a significant drop off. So they're going to need more people to be born. And this is one good way. You know, it helps with the launch pad, but they need to be able to pay drivers fairly when it comes to something to, one, keep them, but also there's going to be a lost generation right here when it comes to Social Security. So something's going to happen. Who knows what?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the one thing that I've been saying on my finance channel nonstop from the first day, I think it's intentional. I think finance or financial education or money management at the most rudimentary level, we're not talking options, we're not talking complicated stuff, should be taught in absolutely elementary school, middle school, high school. And it's not. It should be part of regular curriculum. And I know why they don't do it. And when I say they don't do it because they want you to be a crack addict on plastic. And they will issue you credit cards, and when you turn 18, and then you're off to the races, buying shit you cannot afford to buy. Well, that's the system now, because 80% of our GDP is consumer spending. And if you don't get that crack, and if you don't spend money, economy collapses. So, but that is wrong. And I'm not saying having debt is wrong. I think having debt is great, but manageable debt is great. But unfortunately, they don't teach it. They teach everything in schools. They teach men at the elementary level. They teach sex education and shit. Teach about finance. Teach about what happens when you dollar cost average into an index fund for 20 years, 30 years. Teach about shit like that. That's well, definitely financial off, independence, freedom, you know?
You know, school, to be honest, is an absolute joke. And I couldn't tell you how much stuff that we learned that I actually use on a day-to-day basis. Nothing. 100%. I mean, math. It's good to have a basis and well-rounded, but the reality is you should be teaching stuff that people need to know and what they're going to use, like finances, because it's a huge part. You know, balancing, it shouldn't be a senior economic class to balance a checkbook when you really just like play a game for it, really, and you don't actually like teach how to do all that stuff. So it's an unfortunate thing, and hopefully there may be some changes, but other than that, It's a joke, yeah. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. They try to keep you cracked on that plastic.
You bet. That's the crack, bro. That's the crack. You know. Anyway, so let's move on.
All right. So let's move to how the algorithm should be working. This is something that I came across. I believe it was on Facebook. And so I posted this on X. And it says, I'm surprised Uber upped the pay on this ride. So the other thing is, then I said, would you take it when it comes down to it? So there was two rides requests that came in. And the first one was offered at $68.68. And it was, I forget the distance, but it was like 90 miles or 80 miles or something. So it was way up there. This one didn't get picked up. Then later it came back, same ride, and it was upped from $68.68 to $92.51. Sergio. And then you put, isn't this how it's supposed to work? Yes, it's absolutely supposed to work this way, right? That's what one would think. This is like how Curry works. So Curry puts an order out there, nobody accepts it. And then they're like, okay, well, we got to fulfill it. So we're going to up it. So they up the pay continually until somebody finally accepts it. So you can go
85 mile trip, by the way. It was an 85 mile trip.
That's right. 85. Yeah. So, but, and of course I had to ask, would you take this ride? Because even the 92.51,
no, I wouldn't
be worth it.
I wouldn't.
So, big problem there.
But it's more palatable at 92.51 than 68.68.
Yeah.
And I hope to God, Chris, that nobody took the 68.68. You know what I mean?
Clearly they didn't.
Well, I mean,
if it came in,
that's why it went up to 92.51.
What I can tell you, I have never seen a ride go up that much. Yeah. I've only seen it go down. I've seen it start at, it would have started 68.68, and then it would have gone down to like 64.25. Like, no, that's the wrong way. The algorithm isn't, you want to get the ride, right? So that means you have to offer the juicier money to come in order for somebody to take that. So I don't know what happened there, but I'm going to say it's probably a glitch. Probably a glitch that it went from 68.92, but.
No, I don't think it's a glitch. I think when Uber algos gets desperate enough, they do what they're supposed to do, the way it's supposed to work, because they want to take the
ticket. I mean, they don't want to lose it. I'm just messing around, but
I am sure the second one got snapped, although it shouldn't have been. It should have been thought about at least. I mean, at 68.68, how much was the surge on 68.68? Four something?
750. So it was, they were only paying if you would have gone base, but let's be real, they probably would have adjusted the base anyways on that surge. So even though it says 750 surge, it's not really 750 included. It's whatever they shave off the base fare first.
See, this is the problem right here. Okay. Okay. CM, Chad, buddy, that's not the concern. We're a small business. That's what the CEO say. Well, Chad is, by the way, rides to you. We love Chad. We don't care about what the rider paid. We care about what we make. Okay. But I'm going to assume that the rider paid probably double for each trip. Let's go with that. You know what I mean? Cash or trash? Trash. Well, not complete trash. The first one is complete trash. Second one, half trash.
Well, you know, it kind of depends on the time of day you're going from Washington to Delaware. So it kind of depends on what's going on and there's probably some different factors in there. So it really depends. And then I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming that if you're in the Washington area, you can drive and pick up in Delaware on Uber. I'm assuming that. I can't guarantee that for sure. So I don't know.
Yeah. But this is definitely a dead mile back, probably, right? You would assume. I mean,
a massive chunk of it, if it is. I mean, otherwise, you might be driving in Delaware for a little bit.
Yeah.
Trying to get something back to DC. Yeah. If you can. I mean, if you're deadheading back, no, it's definitely not worth it. Like, if you have to cross the bridge and get back into Washington, it's definitely not worth it. But if you can pick up in Delaware, and depending on the time of day and all that, it might be worth it. So it's definitely one of those things where it's possible, and you got to play to where you're going and all those things.
It's definitely worth it if you live in Delaware. If you got stuck in Washington, D.C. and then you go to Delaware, it's definitely worth it. I'll take it.
Oh, that's an extra quick $100 in my pocket. Cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I mean, for a lot of drivers, right? Okay, you have to think of it this way. They're out there with a daily dollar goal. Okay, $200 is my daily dollar goal. One trip, 2 hours, have you halfway there already. Knock out the rest in Delaware, put your DF on, maybe in 5-6 hours, couple hundred bucks, not too bad. Look,
yeah,
you know, 92 is good. I mean, it's not good, but it's better. Better than...
Well, all I know is seeing it go from 68 to 92 because nobody decided to accept it, I think is a step in the right direction.
What do you call that? Spinner.
Spinner time?
Spinner was spinner. Right.
Yeah, so either way, it is good to see. Normally, like I say, you see it go down. It might go down $1, $2, $3 or whatever, but it likes to go down the more it's sitting on there. I remember the one we posted, I don't know, it was maybe a year ago or so at this point, where it was like, I think we had like 9 screenshots of the same trip that just kept getting pinged and pinged and pinged. And it kept going down until finally the last one brought it up. And it's like, oh, there you go.
That's Uber testing your nerves. Oh, you didn't take it for 3. I'm going to send you to 295. Maybe, you know, I'm like, no.
But see, here's the thing. Like, again, acceptance rate. You want to fix the acceptance rate, make it worth it for drivers. Pay drivers fairly. It's very simple. It's a simple, amazing concept. If you have brand new babies, they're going to have $1,000 invested mimicking the market. Hey, there goes a couple of shares for you. Your stock price might improve from that.
I think they should do that. I don't know why they don't do that. I think that would create so much loyalty, you know, be part of the game, part of the team kind of a thing. But there must be some sort of legal issue with that, because I have proposed that to them, to both companies, that you should start giving out some shares to your drivers, you know. and I haven't heard anything back. So I'm working on it, though, folks. Maybe we'll get you guys some Lyft and Uber shares, you know.
Well, I don't know. It just seems so easy. But it's like, no, they complicate everything. Like, it's literally, you're picking somebody up and dropping them off. It's so complicated. You have to game everything to keep people on. And yet people are like, no, we're not going to stay on. In 11 months' time, you're down to 33%.
Yeah.
Come on.
33%.
If you paid drivers, you know, if you paid 30 to 50% more than what you're paying currently, I guarantee you probably have drivers for at least 3 years. Like, that number at 33% will go out 3 years, 4 years or so. Who knows? We'll see.
Absolutely. So anyway, let's go to the next one, because today I definitely want to do the drunk hour drivers.
Yep. All right. So let's move on. Talk about why are fares capped on long trips?
I don't know the answer to this, so don't email me, please. I'm trying to find out. I posted it on Twitter. I even ordered trips from my house to Uber headquarters in San Francisco and Lyft headquarters in San Francisco. It didn't look like it told me anything. So the two right-hand screenshots are mine before we get there. Uber says no rides available. I'm like, okay. I mean, San Francisco, Mission Street is not that far. Well, it is far, but whatever. And Lyft did put it there on Berry Street, but it didn't give me a price. So this is a topic that I actually want to uncover for the community, like we did with Lyft Black. And I tagged David Risher. See, this is the problem that's happening now, Chris. I tagged David Risher. People are expecting David's going to respond. Drop everything and respond to me immediately on Twitter. Guy's running like a $10 billion company. I don't think he's going to care. He will respond in due time if he wants to, number one. Number two, now a lot of people are tagging me and David in their posts. Don't do it, please, because then like my phone goes off the hook. Magic power to... Don't tag people. Anyway, so do you know the answer to this, by the way, why they cap it? I honestly don't know.
I have no idea why they cap it, but I know we talked about this. This was probably, you know, several months ago at this point. We brought up, make sure you are paying attention to these capped rides, because if you see it capped, you are likely losing money more so than if it wasn't capped, because just the price. So yes, when it comes to Lyft regular rides, $300 is the maximum. that you can make on a ride. So if you see something like this on the two screenshots where it says 300, 330, and yes, the only reason why it says 330 is because there's an included $30 bonus. That is the only reason why the $30 is there. Yeah. Otherwise, the base fare itself is capped at $300. By the way, I found out how much you can tip on Lyft. You can only tip $50.
Really?
$50 or 200%, whichever is smaller.
Okay. Well, so both trips, first of all, because I asked David Richard three questions. I said, one, why is there a limit cap, right? Two, I asked, look at the hours on these trips. One is 13 hours and 16 minutes. The other one is 12 hours and 45 minutes, way above Lyft's driving threshold, right? You can't be online for more than 12 hours. And three, since David said algorithm knows best, I take everything. I accept everything. Don't cancel anything. I said, would you take these trips, David? Those were the three questions. So we're still waiting. At some point, you know, he'll be nice enough to maybe email
me. You're blocked now, Sergio. You're blocked. Welcome to the block.
Come on, man. No. But I'm not trying to get blocked. David, I'm not trying to get blocked. So whoever is your,
handler,
assistant is, don't tell him to block me. I really don't know the answer to this. I want to know what the answer is. First of all, nobody... Even a math challenge, not meth challenge, math challenged driver will not do this trip. 12 hours and 45 minutes and 593 and a half miles. The other one is 13 hours and 16 minutes, 1141 kilometers. So that's about 600 miles, 700 miles.
Yeah, it's right about
nobody.
About 600.
Nobody should even think of getting near this thing, even by mistake. And so I don't know what the reason is. So Lyft, if you're kind enough, if you're watching this, which I'm sure you are, can you guys tell me what the reason is for the cap? I don't know. Is it like interstate travel restriction? What is it? I don't know. I honestly don't know. This is one of the few things I don't know about rideshare. Why is there a cap?
All I know is that is a cap. I believe XL is 500 as well. Black, okay. I think, is... It's something like 1,000 or like 1,200 or something.
Okay, that makes sense.
It might be more. I don't remember off the top of my head, but
that makes sense.
Yeah, when it comes down to it, there is a cap. $300 for Lyft regular.
The one on the right is US. The one on the left is from in Canada. It looks Canada. Like. Okay, so let's look at the one on the right. It's going from Philly to Myrtle Beach. I mean, that's 1, 2, 3, 4. Four states. Maybe that's the reason. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe there's interstate travel restrictions or something. I don't know what it is.
Nope. It's just a $300 cap. So, I mean, think about it. You could go 8 hours driving from, you could drive longer. You could go from Miami to Pensacola. It's probably about the same. I think that's probably 12 hours, Jeff, if you're here, let me know. Probably about the same. So that's just one state. It's capped at $300. Like, that's the max a driver can make on Lyft regular.
Uber has a cap
too. Same thing when it comes to Lyft XL, $500. When it comes to Black, there's difference. So I believe Comfort is the same thing. I believe Comfort's capped at $300. Or extra comfort. Wow. When you see these types of things, just know you're going to get jacked, because driving 300 or driving 600 miles for both trips and only getting paid $300, you're at 50 cents a mile right there.
Well, and that's definitely a dead mile return.
Don't forget about the deadhead return that you're going to go back. And so now you're down 25 cents a mile.
And you're past the 12-hour threshold, so you got to turn the app off. So this is an overnight trip for you, actually, if you do this, right?
Well, you're not going to be able to pick up in around Myrtle Beach.
Probably, but what I'm saying is that time-wise, the clock has run out on you, so you can't even turn the app on. Even if you were able to pick up, you can't. So you have to wait six hours and then drive 12 hours back. That's literally 24, 30-hour ordeal for $330.
And what if this was like hour six already? So you have 6 hours on your timer. So you only have 6 hours left. What happens then at that point? Like, so are you going to go 6 hours and then it's going to, oh, you got to turn the app off. Thanks. Bye.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. So yeah. Somebody,
now, you want to hear a great story about what, sure. Uber has a cap too. I don't remember if it's $300 or $500 for,
oh, do you know? Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Do you know what Uber's cap is? Is it 300 too?
It's $300 or $500. I can't remember off the top of my head. On X? Because unfortunately, rate cards don't happen anymore. On yeah. X, yes.
Oh, okay.
On XL, I want to say X was $500 and XL was $750. Black, okay. I think, was like $1,000 or $1,200 or something, okay. Or maybe $1,500. Sure. But either way, when it came down to it. Yeah, I mean, these are horrible. But before upfront fares even happened, if you got one of these long rides that came in, they would still cap it no matter what. So people were driving them and then saying, hey, you know, what's going on here? This isn't matching my rate card. A chat, I remember seeing this one time, but a chat, one of the chatters, support agents of hell, said, you just have to, you have to end the trip beforehand. Otherwise, you know, the remainder of the trip, you're not going to get paid for.
Yeah. I don't know. So let's
say you take that ride and you're on the rate card and it's, you know, 71 cents a mile and 19 cents a minute. You know, you're going to get nowhere near that distance of 593 miles because you're already way past that. So, it was absolutely wild. They're like, oh, yeah, you need to know exactly how far it is until you have to end the ride there. And then they have to order the next ride to take them to the rest of the destination. Like, that made no sense.
I don't know. I want to know. I would like to find out. And Lyft, please. Somebody at Lyft. And also, maybe if you're going to respond, which I'm sure you will, also respond if any of these two were fulfilled. I doubt it. I mean, I doubt it. So
I have a feeling it's going to be no rides available.
Yeah, Uber says no. I as soon as I saw this, when I was preparing the screenshots for you, I said, let me order a trip to Uber HQ and let me order a trip on Lyft to Lyft HQ to San Francisco. Lyft at least recognized that I'm going to Berry Street, Lyft HQ, but no price. And Uber said no rides available to Third Street, Uber headquarters. So I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. All right. So let's find out.
Okay. So watch out for that.
Next one.
But crazy. All right. So let's move. Hold on.
Are we done?
I'd like to reset. No, we got looks like two more. So the next one is Uber going to be bringing scheduling like DoorDash?
Okay, let's do this real quick. This is mostly for Uber Eats drivers, but for all of you who want to be employees for rideshare as well, this is what you're going to see in your app. DoorDash has this. You have to schedule it. If your acceptance rate is not high enough and you're not a top dasher, you will see a DoorDash scheduler, which you can schedule a week ahead, but then it's so oversaturated on DoorDash that you're not going to be able to schedule the good hours, because why do you want to work like 4 a.m. for delivery? But for all of you in rideshare who want to be employees of these companies, you will have a schedule. You will have to accept every single trip if you're an employee. There's no cherry picking. There is no watching YouTube while you're waiting for a trip. None of that. You will accept every trip and get paid $25 an hour, hopefully, and go home. So I saw this. This Uber was doing this in rideshare, by the way, when they were locking out drivers in New York City. But this is for Uber Eats. And they're introducing schedulers now, Chris. So maybe I won't be able to do Uber Eats anymore because my acceptance rate is single digits. And now I will have to look for a schedule and to get on and get some exercise and get some Prop 22 money out of Uber. Have you guys seen this scheduler? This will be it, scheduler. You guys will be on a schedule. So, yeah, this is short and sweet. We'll go to the next one.
Ooh, reserve those times. Make sure you get that money.
Yeah, reserve those. Right. Why? Yeah.
Well, when we have more info on this, you know, we can definitely expand a little bit more, but there's not that much to go off. Yeah, minus reserve times, reserve early, plan ahead type things. So yeah. We'll definitely be able to get that a little bit more for you. So yeah, okay. If you're worried about what that's all about, we'll definitely let you know. All right. So with that being said, let's move on. Let's talk about what we had mentioned at the beginning of the show, the difference between Waymo and human drivers.
So I got this. I sent this to you. I sent it to Harry. Harry posted it. Wow, that sucks. Yeah, absolutely. Those are all, by the way, all those on fire. Plus, these are all EVs. You know, they burn forever until they get disintegrated. Nothing is left.
Yeah, those batteries, man.
Yeah, man. And these are all Waymos. These are all 150K a pop. All the way down the street, okay? And this is what the terrorists were doing. They were ordering Waymos on their app, and Waymo, sure enough, nonchalantly, innocently, showing up for a pickup, not knowing that they're about to get on fire, and they were put on fire. And all the way down the street is all Waymos, 6-7 of them in a row. So Google took a hit, or Waymo took a hit on this. And wow, that sucks. And I said, relevant question. So I'm going to open this to you guys, to the chat. Relevant question. What would a human driver do under the threat of life, which this was? Just sit there and get burned or run the criminals over? This may be their only weakness until the Waymos can evaluate the threat and do what a human driver would do. Which is what, Chris? What would you do? This is that segment. What would you do?
I would run that MFR over. Oh.
So what would you do, chat? Put one to run him over. Put two, burn me down. If I see a two, I will boot you. So 1-4, I will run the MFR over, like Chris said. Or two, I'll just be kind and let myself burn. There we go. So yeah, this honest, is the only, this is the weakness. I'm telling you, this is a big weakness for these cars. Begin with. And hope to God there was no rider in any of these things. You know what I mean? Two, Jose, you're gone. I'm going to boot you off.
You're just trolling.
Troll. And the other guy says three. You're both gone.
is you don't drive that way to begin with.
This is the comment of the year.
You know your area.
Have you seen that video? Have you seen that video of the British rapper?
British rapper.
Oh my God. As soon as I saw the comment, this is the comment of today. Uncle, drive, uncle. So this British rapper is getting chased by a bunch of Jamaican hoodlums in London. He's famous rapper. He's got a bunch of cash in his bag and shit. And these guys are in the car trying to stab him and steal his cash. And it's an Uber driver, poor like Indian dude or Afghani dude with the doors open. This guy is yelling, uncle, I give you money. Uncle, drive, uncle. This guy takes off with the fucking doors open, Chris. And it wasn't funny. The guy's being stabbed. He's bleeding all over the car.
Ow.
You got to see that video, though. But you got to see it. It's like, uncle, drive, uncle. Like,
what? Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about. Inside.
It was
funny. Wow.
Yeah. So what would you guys do? This is the downfall of Waymos, I believe, because they're not going to run over a human. Okay, they cannot make that. Well, they are programmed not to run over a human, period, to start with. But they're also
even when they're on fire and they're blown up.
Yeah,
error.
Yeah, that video was wrong. And so this is the downfall of Waymos, I believe. Because I mean, if you're in a Waymo and if you're south of Broadway in downtown LA on a non-violent protest day, and we have a little bit of a homeless problem in LA. And one of them just stands in front of you, this car is not going to run you over. It's going to sit there, and God forbid you have a rider in the car. I mean, you're dead. You're dead, man. Yep. So, yeah.
But they did begin their descent out of LA when they were driving down the highway. So you see a line of them on fire here. And I saw the line of them going down the highway, the freeway, going to wherever they're going. Pulling them off the roads. So,
I feel bad, you know, but this is an easy pickings, you know. And actually, that was another tweet or something. And because it was discovered that they were called to this spot, you know, summoned by the app, like ordered the trip, right? And then they put them on fire.
How would that conversation actually begin? Hey man, I got the Waymo app. We should order some Waymos and burn them. Like, yeah. I mean, what the hell kind of conversation would you actually have?
That's
orchestrating what you said. Six or seven were sitting there.
Yeah, no, it's like all of them. I can see all the way. I can see. I think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I can see five. Well, I can count five.
Well, you know what's going to happen here, is that the people that
they have cameras.
The people who ordered these, they have that information. How dumb
you got to be. They know.
They have that info, and I'm sure that the police are already investigating and FBI. You know, heading there and figuring out what's going on and what you are doing. And
nobody said crooks are smart. Nobody said crooks are smart. Dumb shit. True. You uploaded yourself on the app. You put all the information. You could say, I put fake information. I get it. Fine. Okay. Let's say you did that. You do this, you're going to jail. Huh?
You still have the credit card, but not only that, they're going to be able to track the phone number. All of your info on the phone is completely trackable. So you have your ID numbers on there. You have your ad IDs. You have like so many different ways that they can actually figure out who that was without having the phone. And because of what was going on, because this is, you know, a much bigger riot in grand scheme, you are definitely going to have the FBI investigating all of that. And they have the data where they can backtrack all that very easily and find out exactly who that was that ordered the ride.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the Donnie's here, Mr. 100%. He says, I'm sure it was a burner phone. I'm sure it was. Look, the point I'm trying to make is we talked about this subject last week. Is rideshare driving safe? This happens to humans quite often, Chris. The criminals call their victims to them because they do is you have 2 minutes to cancel on the app, right? Without any penalty. So let's say I want to carjack a 2024 Honda Accord Hybrid or some shit, right? I'll just keep ordering trips until I see a Honda Accord Hybrid because all our information is given to the rider. Unlike the other way around, they'll call that to you, put the gun to your head, and carjack you. So in rideshare, you call your victim to you if you're a criminal. And that's what they did here, unfortunately. And at least, you know, hopefully, I'm sure there was nobody in the car. But anyway, so that's the downfall of Waymos, man. That's it.
Yep.
Yeah, there was All right, let's go.
We are going to be doing a driver's corner segment talking about how you deal with drunk riders.
15 minutes.
It's something that we were going to be talking about, and unfortunately for the last couple of weeks, with having guests, we weren't able to do that. But with that being said, yes, now you will be able to. So come on, click that link that I just posted in the chat. You can talk about how you deal with drunks, and we'll be able to do that very nicely, very soon. So,
All right.
That being said, let's look at a couple of comments. First off, John, thank you for becoming a new member. Appreciate that. Todd, same thing. Sultans says BTW GigU is amazing. Thank you. Good.
We have more news coming up on GigU next week, so stay tuned.
Yes. Yeah, something you're going to really like.
Yep.
Randolph says, hello, Sergio. I sent you an email regarding the malfunctioning of CMT.
I did. I'm looking into it, but Chris fixed it. So, you know the watch thing that was like fucking up the CMT? I did as well. I read yours. This is not the same gentleman. I read yours, Randolph. I understand CMT has a problem picking up speeding or speeds, and they have it within their app or whatever you want to call it incorrectly set. That's why your CMT is taking a hit. So Uber knows about it. We're looking into it. That's all I can say. There you go.
All right. Wait, how did I fix it? Just because I said turn off.
You went to your settings. You the watch? Yeah. Is he here?
If you have a watch, just in general, if you have an iPhone, this is going to be more for iPhone. For Android, I don't know. This is something maybe Sergio, you'll have to look into a little bit more. Okay. But on iPhone, everything is pretty much locked down pretty well. So you need to have permissions from apps, or you need to give permission to apps in order to be able to access certain things of your phone, including camera, microphone, you know, the basics like that, contact information, whatever it might be. One of the things that that I do, first off, I don't give apps any information, especially Uber or Lyft, because they're crawling what they can. But yeah, when you turn like GPS, you can turn only when using the app, and things like that. When it comes to fitness and activity, they don't need that shit. Turn it off. They don't need fitness and activity. So they don't need access to that. They don't turn that off. So go into your settings, go into scroll all the way down, go to apps, scroll all the way down to where your Uber app is, and then it'll show you all of the different permission requests that Uber has made. If you have anything turned on, you can always turn it off. So yeah, when you see like fitness and activity, turn it off, because they don't need that info.
Yep.
Oh, that's so how you do that.
That was, I think, Bob from Chicago, but I will email him back, or we'll, one of us will get back to him, because he's
finally downloaded the Solo app, top 1 to 3 earner weekly. Nice, congrats, San Diego, and top 50 earner in the country. No wonder when I talk to people, they say there's no money in Uber because they're just not as good. And nice.
Talking a big game there.
Macrobake. Didn't you do a behind the wheel with him?
With Felipe? Yeah, I did, yeah.
All right. So, yes, go back, check that out. Maybe you can learn a couple nuggets or two.
Yeah.
And then Cooks Magooks said, wasting all your time to make the money you could from a real job.
Oh, the real job is back. Okay, Cooks, my books. Go watch that interview with the professor, okay? It's 2 weeks ago, just not too far. Go watch that behind the wheel interview. He's one of those. Get a real job.
Get a real job. Please tell me, what is a real job?
A real fucking job.
Because I'll tell you, whatever job you got, probably ain't a real job either.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can be miserable doing this, and you can be really miserable with a boss at McDonald's. Which one do you want? I don't know. Get a real job. That's your real job. Yeah. Here, you can turn the app off and then go. One trip, I'm done for the day. Why don't you go try that at Target or Walmart or anywhere, actually. Tell your boss, today I feel like working only 2 hours. Okay?
I tell Harry that. Job. Actually, I don't even tell Harry that. I just say, oh, I'm working, I'm not working.
Yeah, don't let the fucking door hit you on the way out, sir.
All right. Well, let's. We got a couple people. So what?
Okay. I'm not trying to be rude. I cannot do anything about the activation. The only thing is if your Face ID didn't go through or something. But if you got a complaint and they deactivated you, I am powerless, man. I cannot do anything about it. That's the only thing I cannot touch. I can touch a lot. That is untouchable for me, anyway.
All right. Well, let's bring on Emmanuel. Emmanuel, how you doing? Are you there? Oh, okay. Bye. I guess he didn't want to talk. Come on. What the heck? All right. Let's go to Victor. Victor, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we can. How you doing?
Hey.
How you doing?
Thanks for having me on.
What city are you in? What city are you in? How many trips you got under your belt? And then the floor is yours.
All right. I'm in Austin, Texas. I have 3,300 trips. I've had about 1 year now on the app of Lyft alone. I only do Lyft.
Why?
Because Uber didn't accept me for some reason. I actually have some screenshots of the Uber I applied for both at the same time, and I kind of jumped into this without any previous research, which I completely regret because I jumped into a car note at the same time, and Lyft completely had me. I'm now downgraded to $15 an hour if I can make that, you know.
Well, that's why you drive the drunk hours.
I do now drive the drunk hours. Well, now, thankfully, I'm shifting out of that. And I'm getting back into my original field of tech. So,
okay. So, what do you do? That's our topic. You're driving drunk hours. What is your safety rules, and what do you do?
Okay, so things have changed since I started driving to now, right? Because you need experience in just trying to maybe come up with good solutions of how to avoid drunk drivers. So you probably, when you're so naive in the beginning, you probably get a couple of bad experiences and it has you adjust your system of what you're going to do. So what I found out is I try to avoid the hour of 2 to 3, which is the drunk hour, right? Okay. If I can. But those are sometimes the most lucrative hours. And I know both Lyft and Uber offer surge pricing in those hours. So what I do, I had a really bad experience. So I'll tell you that first. Right after 2 o'clock, I pulled up to a bar. This guy, and I had the wherewithal to, you know, at this hour, I want to pull down my window. Usually I don't do the pre-interview, so to say. Because, you know, riders just have this expectation that they're just going to come and rip your door open and get right in, right? When you're rolling your window down and trying to make a coherent conversation with somebody, sometimes they almost take that as an insult. Like I've had riders literally get insulted that, what are you thinking? That what kind of customer service is this? You're trying to make sure I'm drunk or not. And they take that as an offense, an offensive thing. So I try to only do it when it's drunk hour and I have a good reason to do it. So I roll down this window, guy's coming out of an apartment. It's after 2 and I kind of could tell that, you know, he was coherent. He was a little drunk, but he says, can I please sit in the front seat because I get sick in the back seat. So I don't ever let people sit in the front. Unless they say that kind of stuff, you know, because I can relate to it. When I was young, I also got sick in cars. So I was like, okay, you can sit in the front. Now he's in my personal space. And even though in the beginning I could tell he was okay, he was coherent, he was nice, I think he might have downed 5 or 6 shots before he got into the car. And I think that's one thing we always have to think about when somebody's coming out of a bar or somebody's coming out of a place like that, they might have a last call and they might have downed 5, 6 shots. And even though you could tell the guy's okay right now, when you're on a 30, 40 minute trip, like in this case, I was, I think, 35 minute trip, he's going to get actively getting more, he's going to actively be getting more drunk in your car as he's sitting there. So he was in the front seat. We started a great conversation. And he actively got more and more aggressive towards me. He was a Hispanic gentleman. I always vibe with everybody. I pick up people's vibe and I kind of return it, right? If you don't want to talk, we don't have to talk. If you're talkative, I'm up for talking. And I tried every method in my head to try to distract this guy from him just getting more pissed off about me. Apparently, he was getting upset about me being white. So it got to the point where we're doing 75 on the freeway, which is the speed limit here on the toll roads. And he's raising his fist in the air on the passenger seat saying he's about to punch me. And I'm like pulling out all my ideas of how to de-escalate this situation. You know, I'm here in the car taking you home. I'm serving you. I'm not sure why you're mad at me. You know, I distracted him for listening to the music. What kind of music do you like? So I would be like, hey, you have a favorite artist? Let's throw on your favorite track. That's a good distraction. So I think, and also he asked for my phone number that he's, and I even gave him that because I'm like, you know, I'm just going along. I'm going along with everything that's going on because I want this guy out of my car.
Well, how did it end? Did it end well or no?
It did, and okay. I mean, I dropped him off. He got my phone number. He said he's going to tip me $100.
Why would you give him your phone number?
Every single time somebody has told me they're going to tip me, they have never tipped me. So yeah, I think...
Why would you give him your personal phone number?
I just wanted to go along with, you know, I was like, I just wanted to go along with it. I didn't want to be threatened to be, you know, physically assaulted.
Yeah.
And I thought if he's going to try to call the number and my phone's not ringing... Yeah. He's going to be like even more upset.
So. Okay. Well, that was a bad experience. Hopefully it ended okay. Do you have other like barf bags and things like that in your car?
After that, after this experience, I got this really nice dash cam.
Okay.
you know, and so I have actually two dash cams right now because one came with my car. And so I have five cameras in the car. You know, that's only that'll maybe give you more of a peace of mind. I just recently had an accident and, you know, that helped me a lot.
Yep. Prove you're innocent.
But as far as I think, as far as drunk drivers and stuff like that's, I think there's so much of, I mean, if somebody has a gun, I had one guy with a gun, he wasn't drunk. I don't know if this is you know, maybe I could tell that quick story as well.
No,
but,
no. Well, because we have more people waiting, but no, I, you know what, Victor, real quick in 30 seconds, I'm going to ask you a question. This is not related to drunk hours or driving drunks around. Waymo is supposedly doing brisk business in Austin, Texas. And the Uber said they're 99% busier, more busy than human drivers. Are you seeing an effect on your business from Waymo's or no?
A little bit, but it's actually the type of business I don't want. So if I ever get close to downtown, what I always do is I turn off the auto, you know, the requests while I'm driving, because I'm constantly, literally, like, you can't even have a conversation with someone because every 5 seconds you're going to have a $3 ride request.
Yeah.
And I mean, I have screenshots of this. It's ridiculous that none of them is it. They're all in $3 range. Right. Okay. So, I've seen them taking these $3 rides, and I know, and I've talked to some riders that, you know, in the area of Austin that they're allowed to drive, that is the $3 zone.
Okay.
So they're taking those $3 rides, and
okay, cool.
And I'm glad.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. You please be healthy, stay safe. And if you're going back to IT work, all best of wishes, best luck to you. Because you know this filled a gap for you, it looks like, and I'm glad it did. So thank you
guys,
take care.
You too.
All right, Emmanuel.
Hey,
can you hear me? How's it going?
How you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
we're here for you, my man. What's happening?
So I got barf bags plenty galore. I got them in my glove compartment. I got them in my center console. I got in my back seat pockets. I got them in my driver door, passenger door. So I've been doing this for almost 11 years. I've learned my lesson. So you got to have barf bags because you never know when, you know, I drive sometimes overnight on the weekends and, you know, during the week I drive in the mornings, and you just never know if somebody's day drinking or, you know, the bar crowd, but this has saved me from getting that barf, you know, having a clean up. And then if you do sometimes get that unlucky person that barfs out your window, wipes, you know, the Lysol wipes.
This guy's ready, man. You know, this guy's ready.
And then, you know, when you get that person that you just sense that's just had too much to drink, you roll your windows down, turn your AC up. Turn it down, you know, the temperature, turn it all the way up. So they get that cold air and, you know, it kind of cools them down and makes them feel better. And then, I usually have bottles of water for those people that, you know, I don't offer it to everybody. I used to get paid a lot.
Are you in? What city are you in?
Houston. So yeah. Okay.
How's 11 years? 11 years. You've seen the good, the bad, the ugly. How's it? What section are you in? Are you in the good, the bad, or the ugly section at the moment?
I'm in the ugly right now. So I'm over here by Bush Airport. So yeah.
No, I mean business wise, earnings wise, right?
I mean, I just kind of do the, you know, because I'm disabled, so I kind of only do this whenever I need to. Okay. But yeah, I do Grubhub, Lyft, and Uber Eats.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, you're ready for drunks. So I'm going to end with this for the chat as well. Listen up, people. I learned there are three types of drunks. Do you know what kind they are, Emmanuel? What types? Three types of drunks.
Well, the angry drunk.
One.
The calm drunk.
Okay, let's call him the happy drunk. Happy drunk.
Yeah, the happy drunk, and then the friendly drunk. The kind of, you know, crosses the line. You know, wants to kind of fill you up, I guess. You know, that's my experience. You know, okay,
I figured there's three. You got two out of the three. There's a happy drunk that will just jibber jabber or try to screw you. Number two is a sad drunk, will start talking and complain about their either boss or their girlfriend dumping him for the next 2 hours. And there is the mad drunk, angry drunk. Those could go either way. They can snap on something useless and then you're in big trouble. So you need to really read the room if you run into an angry drunk or a mad drunk.
And actually, you forget there's a fourth one, the one that just passes out on you and falls asleep, and then you got to figure out how to wake them up. So
I had that. I had that one time, 350-pound guy from the marina to Santa Monica. He fucking passed out. I couldn't touch it. I don't want to touch it. I called 911. It was an ordeal. I let the clock running, though, in the days of, you know, time and distance rates. I am turning my meter off. It took a half hour to get this guy out of a car, but I had that once, yeah, you know.
Yeah, I had that once about 8 years ago.
Yeah,
and it took about an hour to get the guy out of my car.
Yeah, that's a bad feeling. Well, thank you for coming on, man. You'll be safe out there. Take care of yourself. Hang in there.
Yes, sir, and God bless y'all. Take care.
God bless you.
All right, thanks.
No other takers?
Right, so, yes, moral of the story, definitely have puke bags. Yeah. Another thing... just be careful. Like you got to know what's going on.
Dash cam
is the key. I know somebody in the chat was putting dash cam. Somebody put the Vantrue N4 Pro. Yes, that's a great camera. If you want something that is cloud-based, definitely Nexar camera is going to be next level when it comes to it. So
somebody if you're said looking at Nexar,
you want the one that's going forward and interior facing. I think that's the beam two. There's the beam. I don't remember. I got them both.
Yeah. No, the Nexar is pretty top level. Now they're all okay. Well, we guys have three more minutes if you guys want to come on. Otherwise, we're going to say goodbye. Okay. See, promo card for what? RSG Nexar is invalid? Andrew. Well, fuck. Andrew's not watching this. we'll find out. Hold your horses for a day. I'll get you a code. Okay, email me sergio@therideshareguy.com. It's RSG Nexar, all capital letters. If you didn't get it, I don't know what's wrong with it. Email me sergio@therideshareguy.com. I will send it to the company or I will send it to our people, and then they'll get you a code for the same discount that it was previously. Duh.
They're good cameras.
AI, Al Persian name.
No, live streaming is not actually posting to YouTube. It's you're looking at the live feed of the view of the camera on your phone.
Yeah. Okay, so email me, sergio@therideshareguy.com, Rich K, and then I'll get you a code, whatever. Okay.
Yeah, Vantrue is also making a 360 camera.
Yeah, Vantrue is good. So anyway, buddy, good show. Next week, should we do that next week? The toll it takes, physical, mental, financial, spiritual, emotional toll rideshare driving takes on a human. You all ready for that? I mean, I think it's important to talk about it, and I don't think it's talked enough. I think you all do an amazing job. You all do an amazing job, and I think and it's not just money. It's a lot more goes into it than anything else. So we should talk about it more often. Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, not only that, but also break down, again, the opposites of it. So if you see you're going self, you know, kind of going towards some of the issues, there's the corrective action. So... definitely some great conversation, I think, would be halved on that. So make sure you stay tuned for next week because that'll be pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. They stayed out of OC and LA. So they know I'm here. They go, we're not going to mess with Surge. It's not standard versus premium. It's standard versus advantage. Everywhere else except OC and LA County was spared for Advantage versus Standard. They go like, that fucking guy's going to go test it probably. We're going to do it anyway. So, okay, cool.
All right. Well, you guys have a great rest of your week. Enjoy, make that money, and be safe.